We look to the Lord this morning as we resume a series that we began a couple of weeks ago, pointing out the five signs of progressive Christianity out of an article that was brought to my attention. Last week we combined two of those signatures of progressive Christianity and de-emphasizing, devaluing the Word of God and then misinterpreting or reinterpreting Scripture as we think it ought to be reinterpreted. And so this week we approach another of those pointed out in the article as a dangerous part of the progressive Christianity movement, and that is placing feelings above facts. There's a movement in churches to put a lot of stock in our emotions and our feelings over and against the facts and the truth of God's Word. While God made us emotional creatures, it was not for the purpose that our emotions and the pull of the flesh be the guiding force in how we respond to Him. And as we went through last week, I made a statement, and I know it was for some perhaps felt a little harsh, and I'm not going to retract it. I'm going to state it again and state it with a little bit of an explanation just to make sure that it was received properly and not misunderstood. The statement is not the gospel that I made. The statement's not the gospel, but it is also my understanding of what the Lord has placed as far as a call on my life to this church, His sheep, and as His spokesman. And that was, I care more about your spiritual condition before the Lord in eternity than I do about your feelings here. And I mean no harm. I mean no insensitivity. I love you, and I believe that in sitting with many of you in hospital settings and in your homes going through difficulties, that you know my heart towards you and the pain and the heartache that you might face. And I will continue to exercise that because the Lord equips us to be able to serve in such a way. But the fact of the matter is that I would be more concerned about your spiritual finish than I am about your feelings currently. And I do try to make every effort to be compassionate and sensitive as you go through difficulties. Believer, just know that my heart is as good as it can be in this human flesh, moved by the Spirit that dwells within me, and through the power of the Word and under the direction of the Word that we have before us, so that God's sheep are fed. Also think about those that are unbelievers that might be impacted by such a statement, and just know that my heart, I try to be as much like Jesus as I can, and I acknowledge fall well short of that. And that's why He's continuing to have to work on me, and I'm grateful that He is. But I dare not risk being so lenient or politically correct that I allow someone to be misled into error. And so as explaining that and moving on, I want us to look to the Word of God for clarity on this issue of emphasizing not feelings but truth and facts. And so when this started out, I was just going to read a portion out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but I'm reading the entire chapter this morning. So if you're not able to stand for a lengthy period of time, please don't feel like you have to. If you can stand, let's stand as we read these words from the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the Word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not destroyed, not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying around in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, where it says, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe, therefore also we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for being in our midst this morning and every day by the person of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the opportunity to corporately worship you and to praise you, to hear your voice as you speak through Scripture, and that your Spirit reveals that truth to our hearts. Father, may we this morning be attentive to you intentionally, that we hear you as you speak, and that, Father God, we find the balance between these emotions and feelings that you have given us and the truth that you have written to us to be validated and confirmed in our lives as you have entered in to transform your people. Father God, have your way with us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul has in our Bible, we have two accounts of the Corinthian letters, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Bible scholars believe there were at least four of those letters written to this church. One is lost, another one somewhere. It was a scathing letter of rebuke, especially towards the false teachers and then to the church members that were buying the lies. And in this second letter, it especially addresses false teachers and false folks that had come in to teach error in the church, and especially to bash the ministry of the Apostle Paul, to attempt to discredit his authenticity and his authority as an apostle to minister. And we find him partly defending himself through this chapter, but at the same time while he's defending himself, he is teaching and preaching truth and drawing true faith believers to himself and to be strengthened in these words. We find a lot of this addressing do not rely on feelings as much as truth in several statements that Paul makes in this letter. And so I'd like for us to kind of go through the verses and find these issues where he addresses these feelings without bogging down in the exposition, which is always rich and a blessing to me. But for time limit, we will be looking at just the highlights. But we find here, Paul does not want to defend himself, but it is necessary for his listeners to understand his heart and also to hear the truth. Paul writes, beginning this chapter, of course, is not chapter and verse when Paul wrote it, but as we move to this section, therefore means there was something before this, and the apostle had been talking about a new ministry of a new covenant. The old covenant was with Moses, was serving God's people, and the old covenant was given through Abraham, and Moses carried that on. And then Christ came on the scene and brought a new covenant. He sealed it with his blood. He gave the ordinance of the Lord's Supper in order for us to remember that death that he gave, and that the blood was the new covenant for us to enter into relationship with God. The Apostle Paul says, since we have this new covenant, this ministry, and a responsibility to this new covenant, he said, now, as we've received mercy, and that's the big part of our receiving this ministry, is that the Lord had to be super merciful with us. He had to put away sin from us in order for us to be vessels he could use to his glory. For God to not hold judgment against someone is a big deal. We all deserve hell and death. We all deserve, because of our sin and our tendency to walk away from the Lord and his goodness, we deserve to be punished. But God in his mercy has seen fit to put that judgment at bay, in fact, applying it to Christ Jesus at the cross. What a blessing. Paul acknowledges and says, we've received mercy, speaking to the church. We have this ministry, we've received mercy, and because of that, we do not lose heart. When we go through difficulties or when we're faced with challenges, the first thing that happens is we exercise feelings about those challenges. Here Paul's addressing a church that's having to deal with false teachers. Paul comes in to try and straighten the mess out. People have feelings going on, and here Paul is saying, do not lose heart. We have a ministry that's been given to us out of God's mercy. Do not lose heart. Don't give in to the feelings that may be overwhelming you. And he goes on in verse 2, and this is really speaking towards those false teachers and giving a testimony. We have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by manifestation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In a little barb, the Apostle Paul is saying, I haven't walked in disobedience. It is these false teachers who've come in and they're trying to sneak something in on you that you need to be watching out for. I've been accused of teaching a wrong kind of message, but these are the ones that are sneaking in. Be careful not to give in to the feelings that are created by false teaching. Not walking in craftiness, not adulterating the word of God, but by bringing forth the truth and then standing in good conscience before God and man. He goes on to say in verse 3, even if our gospel is veiled, even if the message that I'm trying to teach you is not getting through to some, it is because the enemy has come in to blind them and to cover their eyes so that they cannot receive the message. You know, this is a sad reality that there is this truth that there are going to be some in life who will not believe the gospel. There'll be some who will stiff-arm God and say, no, I'm going to do this on my own. I do not need you to intervene. And some will do it ignorantly and some will do it willingly. But there will be many. And Jesus made that clear as he spoke and said, the way that happens is a broad way. Many go that way. But here Paul says there are some who have their eyes veiled. And they'll spend their lives living according to their feelings and their own wisdom rather than yielding to the truth of God. Then Paul goes on and says, but we do not preach ourselves. We do not preach ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus as Lord and ourselves as servants for Christ's sake. It is very likely these false teachers preach themselves. They advertise themselves and they promoted themselves. Here, Paul is saying, I never have preached myself. I've promoted Christ and him crucified. And now he's saying, and I preach myself as being a servant. And all those who follow Jesus as servants of the Lord. There are often times when we think about living according to feelings, we'd have to be selfish and self-absorbed as we do that. A slave can't spend time being selfish and self-absorbed. They have to yield to the will of the master. That comes a time when the feelings aren't what should dictate how you respond, but the truth is, I'm a servant, he's the master. Here Paul is saying, we're not preaching ourselves as anything except servants and slaves. And Jesus is the Lord, he's the master. And it's confirmed because God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness in creation," listen, created everything out of nothing except the power of His Word. This same God has shown a light in our hearts, a light of the knowledge of the glory of God that's been seen in the face of Christ. This same God has revealed truth to us, and that same God's revealing truth to you as Paul is writing to this church. It is His message that you should yield to, and it's a message of truth, not a message about feelings and giddiness and warm fuzzies. That may come in our experience at times, but it is to always be guided by truth. Here Paul is saying, God has allowed the light of this understanding of Christ to be revealed to some of us. And this message, this treasure, he says in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And this is where we begin to see this truth over feelings ideal, because every one of us are just earthen vessels. Paul uses this imagery and this language to speak about just a common little clay pot that might hold some grain or might hold some water that is used in the service of a house and common everyday things. And you and I are likened to just vessels, common vessels that are earthen, means that made out of the dirt and a mixture of mud and water. And those things eventually will crumble and go back to the earth. Much like the human body, we're earthen vessels. But within these earthen vessels, there's a ministry, a power that exists. It's not our own. Note here, he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power is of God and not of ourselves. We operate in feelings. We operate in the flesh. We'll be addressing ourselves and we'll be promoting ourselves here as earthen vessels, yielded beyond whatever feelings we may have about an issue or a situation or any kind of pressure coming on the outside, the power of what happens through this vessel will be found to be in God, His power and not our own. He goes on to speak, and we've heard this phraseology many times, perhaps in Sunday school or as we've read the scriptures. He says, as these earthen vessels were afflicted, were perplexed, were persecuted, were struck down. When you are perplexed and persecuted and afflicted and struck down, there are feelings that come to bear and there are emotions that come forward. And it's easy to yield to those emotions and react and respond out of emotion rather than to respond and react out of what's actually happening. Note what Paul's saying here. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, and we get afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We get perplexed, but we don't despair. Persecuted, but we're not forgotten, not forsaken. Struck down, that could even apply to death, but we're not destroyed. Isn't it amazing that God has given the promise that, believer, you might die physically, but you cannot die spiritually? That's been sealed. You might be struck down, but you will not be destroyed because the Father in heaven has preserved you and you belong to Him. And the devil can never have your soul. No matter how much he might attack you or even take you down, you belong to Him. So feelings should not dictate, just because circumstances and hardships come, do not dictate over truth. Because even though we are afflicted, perplexed, and persecuted, and struck down, they don't rule the day. The Lord has enabled His people to overcome. And victory is found in that faith. And then Paul goes on to speak about how always carrying about in the body, as we're being afflicted and perplexed and persecuted and struck down, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. Well, why is that? So that the life of Jesus is made known in our lives. The struggles we go through are for the demonstration of the world, on display for the world to see how God works in the life of believers. And sometimes it's not pretty. But believers ought to exercise faith and trust and confidence in the God who owns them as they go through those disappointments, because God is displaying Himself through that. The life of Christ is on display. Even says it again in verse 11 in another way. We who are who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so the life of Jesus is manifested in our mortal flesh. Again, a reference to the limited time and longevity of these bodies in which we're wrapped. Because these bodies are temporary, we shouldn't put a whole lot of stock in these bodies. I'm noticing next month I'll be 58. Pretty close to 60. Closer than I was when I was born. And I'm noticing how the body's breaking down, and I'm noticing how I can really be down when I feel bad, when my knuckles start hurting because the old arthritis is on me. But that can't overcome what's happening on the inside. And hopefully I respond in such a way that it puts on display that the power of Christ is greater than any affliction that's coming against, so that as I'm constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, his life is being seen and displayed for that. So death works in us, life in you. It is for the benefit of others that the world sees God working in us in that way, that as we go through struggles and hardships and afflictions and those kind of things, that the Lord is bringing forth His glory and His goodness and His healing and His strength, as we put that on display, because He's working in and through us. Paul even goes in verse 13, but having the same spirit of faith according to what's written, he says, we have this faith in us that declares, just as it's written, I believe, so I'm speaking. And Paul says, so we believe and now we're speaking. We're telling you. We're able to endure all of this because of the next verse there in verse 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also. And he's going to present us together one day, all of us together before him. Our success in this life as believers and in this world is not based upon who we are and what we do. It's based upon what Christ has done and is doing in and through us. When Paul writes here, the one who raised Christ is going to raise us, that's hope. It goes beyond this world. I like when I read through the psalmist's psalms and I find the psalmist saying, one day I will see my Lord in the flesh. I will see him face to face. There's no doubt that there's a resurrection on the mind of the writer. Whether he didn't know it or the Spirit put it there or what, he knows, he has confidence, he'll see the Lord one day. The resurrection is the hope, is what motivates and moves a believer. And that's something we cannot see. It is something we must trust God for. On those days when I feel like I'm not walking with the Lord, or I don't feel very holy, or on those days when I just feel like I don't want to talk to people, the feelings can't dictate truth and reality. I must be ready to yield to the Lord as he is moving in and through me for his glory. But he goes on even to confirm this. All things are for your sakes, that the grace that's spreading to more and more people through this ministry in earthen vessels being on display, so that grace that's spreading more and more to more and more people will cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God, is always to point to his glory and thanksgiving. And again, he says, therefore, in light of all of this, we don't lose heart. We don't give up. We don't let our feelings dictate. Even though the outer man's decaying, inner man is being renewed day by day, being made into the image of Jesus, being made into his likeness, being renewed. For the moment, verse 17, light afflictions producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison. What's happening here cannot be compared to what will be happening in glory one day. When you are glorified with Christ in glory in a new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, nothing here can come close to comparing. We see a lot of nice places, a lot of shiny castles and mansions and beautiful places. Nothing compares to what we will be in glory and what we will experience in glory. And he goes on to say, because we're looking at things that are seen, But we should focus on the things that are not seen. The things that are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. We should be heaven-minded. Not so much that we're not useful in the earth. He still has work for us to do. But that we honor the Lord through what we do and what we say, what we think as we rely upon Him. Now, all of this to say, this truth is that we shouldn't rely on feelings. We should base our lives upon the truth. So, how does this have to do? What does this have to do with progressive Christianity? Well, this idea of putting feelings above truth means that I might make a statement like, well, that Bible verse just doesn't resonate with me. It doesn't connect with me. I'm not sure I can agree with that. I think I'll move on to something else and just ignore that particular passage. That's putting your feelings above truth. Should not my life be adjusted to fit the truth of God's Word rather than say, okay, God, Your Word should adjust to me? I think of this, and it's the way philosophers work. Now, I'm not a great philosopher, but if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and Jesus is the Word, and then the Word's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the Word doesn't change and will not. Like we said a couple of weeks ago, till Jesus says all things are finished, every T crossed and every I dotted, the Word is going to stand. So it cannot be changed for our sakes and because of our feelings. So just because a verse doesn't resonate with me means let me get my life in order. When people walk out of here, I've heard them say, oh, you really stepped on my toes today. And the response I would give is, then move your toes. And that's not original with me. I wish I was that smart. The Lord's wanting to move us from where we are to where He wants us to be. We should never be satisfied where we are. As we're maturing, listen, the eldest, most saintliest saint among us has not yet reached what he will be or she will be. We are always being made into His image. The outer man's decaying, the inner man's being renewed day by day. There is no retirement for growing into the image of Jesus. It's ongoing. We never get there. Paul, at the end of his life, I've run the race. He said, but I'm striving for that prize. I've not yet reached it, but I'm going. And I've run it as good as I know how, and I've kept the faith, and I've stayed on the course. One day a crown of life's given to me, and I'm looking for that. In the meantime, keep running. Keep serving. And let the Word of God impact you. And like we talked about last week, let it cut where it needs to cut and bring us to where He wants us to be. And I've heard this next phrase that came in the article that is a sign of those who let feelings rule over facts. I thought an alternative lifestyle was a sin until I met and befriended a gay person, or until one of my family members came out and said, I'm gay. And now I've started to lean towards thinking it's okay. That's letting feelings dictate over truth. And I don't speak this heartlessly. I have a couple of relatives, my side of the family, not Laura's, that have come out, and I know this reality. And I love these relatives, and I'll continue to be available to them and to love on them and to continue to lovingly share truth with them. God will get a hold of them. That's all we can do. But we have to hold up truth in a loving manner. There's also a statement I personally heard. I just can't believe Jesus had sent good people to hell. Because I feel that way, I'm not so sure I believe the Word of God that some people are going to go to hell. I think everybody's going to be saved. I mean, I've heard all of those statements. Well, God's Word says different. And when you make that kind of statement, you are under the assumption that there's some good people. There's really nobody good. Jesus Himself was approached and said, good teacher. And Jesus said, nobody good. Why you call me good? Only the Father. Now, we know Jesus was good, but He's saying, don't call anybody good. None of us. No matter how good you might be. Listen, I have known some morally upright and decent people who are humanitarians and philanthropists and give to charities, but they don't want anything to do with God. And while they serve mankind and they help people, they don't know Christ and they're not washed by His blood like we preached 2 weeks ago. They will not have access to Him. There are going to be a lot of good people at the great white throne judgment that are not going to be allowed into the presence of the Father for eternity. All the more reason for us to be diligent in sharing the good news. Let these earthly vessels display the power of God as He speaks His truth in and through us to those who are letting feelings dominate over truth. The Scripture makes it clear we are justified by faith, not by good deeds, not by morality, not by philanthropy, not any of our deeds. We have to be born again, washed in the blood of the Christ who offered up once for all that sacrifice that perfected those who are sanctified. There's no other way. And that's the truth. God placed us in this world with emotions. At creation, we see Jesus displaying emotions throughout His ministry. There was no one more compassionate to the lost than Christ, to the hungry than Christ, to the blind and to the lepers and the lame than Christ, to those who wept over lost ones. No one was more compassionate and emotional for them than Christ Jesus, but He always balanced it out and allowed the truth to dictate how He ministered. We can't do any different. You might say, well, I'm not Christ and I'm not perfect. That's the point. Rely upon Him and let Him live in and through you. It is dangerous for us, dangerous for the church, to think that we can be guided by our emotions and put truth to the side. Let's celebrate that God made us emotive creatures. Let's celebrate that we can weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And we can celebrate with those who come into new life and experience new life blessings. But we cannot allow those emotions to dictate our response and our actions. The heart that's guided by faith is the heart that honors the Lord. And really, the only way you and I are going to live up to that is if we base our faith upon Christ, who was faithful in His offering of Himself. God was satisfied and raised Him up to life. And now, if we just live in His faithfulness, we will find that we'll honor the Lord. So may we yield to the complete rule of the Lord, the dwelling of His Spirit, the truth of His Word, as we have opportunity before us. And I cannot leave without extending an invitation. Perhaps there's someone here. You haven't trusted Christ. Perhaps He's stirring you and you know that you need to respond. Trust Him. Allow the Lord to rule over you. Come to that place where you're broken and you come before Him and you admit your sin. Agree with God. Jesus' sacrifice was enough. That's your only hope. To submit to somebody else being king in your life. I pray we find ourselves progressing, but not to the point where we allow feelings to dictate over truth. Because truth is lasting. And truth is Christ. And He's the rock upon which we're to build our lives. May we find ourselves there. Let's pray together as we prepare our hearts for response. Father, we acknowledge You today and thank You for being in our midst. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. I pray, Father, that as we have met in this place and You've been here to stir us and to draw us to Yourself, that, Lord God, we've been attentive. I pray now, Father, as we prepare our hearts to respond, that we would be willing to set aside emotions that might keep us from yielding to Your truth, who is Christ. Thank you for his sacrifice. Thank you for his resurrection. Thank you for the hope and promise of him coming back to bring us to himself. Lord God, for that soul or more that need to trust you today, call out to you to experience peace and forgiveness and assurance for eternity. Father God, move in our midst. May we honor you with our response this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.